one of my favorites because it reminds us who Jesus is. And our scripture is Revelation 1, 4b through 8. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his king, his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today that we are able to lift you up. Speak through me and in spite of me as we sing your praise. Amen. I want you to picture this. Picture Jerusalem today. Now, Jerusalem today, most of us can picture the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount is relatively flat now. There's not a whole lot there except this great big golden dome. And this great big golden dome is called the Dome of the Rock. And on the Dome of the Rock, well, it's a Muslim, yes, I said that correctly, Muslim place of worship on top of the Temple Mount, where the very temple that was built for the Jewish people to worship in. The very temple that Jesus worshiped in. He himself walked through those gates, came in and out, even taught in that temple when he was 12 years old. Now, who else but the King of Kings would be wise enough to be able to teach the Pharisees and the other leaders of the temple at 12 years old but Jesus Christ? Now, I want you also to know that many people know the scriptures, not just those who are Jewish, Not just those who are Christian. Those who are Muslim know the scriptures too. And the scriptures tell us that that lion's gate, that gate where Jesus is going to come back, where we're going to see him descend out of the clouds, and he's going to come back to that place where this Dome of the Rock is. He's going to walk through those gates. Well, the Muslims weren't taking any chances. So they've literally taken this gate and this parapet, basically, where there's stairs, and they filled it with concrete. Now, on the hill across from the Temple Mount is the same, very same hill that Jesus had walked down in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. In fact, every year, folks walk down that hill, mountain, and it's the same kind of steepness that you would see in western Pennsylvania, these Appalachian mountains that we have here. You walk down through that. And down in the bottom is the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, Gethsemane means olive press. Olive press. That same place where Jesus had been taken captive. That same place where Jesus was taken to Caiaphas's house. And you can see that gate. And I remember sitting there in the Garden of Gethsemane looking up into that gate. And I remember crying because I was just overwhelmed with emotion, thinking that someday Jesus was going to come back. For you and for me. That's good news, folks. And if you go there today on the Mount of Olives, if you were in the far distance, you would think that it's a desert, that this is all covered with stone. No, no. It's covered with graves. Because these people want to be the first people to rise from the dead, to be able to see Jesus. You know, this is a guarantee that each and every one of us have. Because we know that our Lord and Savior was the first to rise from the dead. Because he conquered death. Not for himself. He didn't have to come down from heaven. But he came to prepare a way for you and for me. Today is the close of the Christian year. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And if you ever come in here and sit, and sometimes I do just that, and I love to come in here and just sit and pray. Sometimes I face this direction. Sometimes I pick a window and just sit in front of the window. And this particular window, the Allegheny window, if you sit and you look at it, there happens to be an Alpha and an Omega in it. The Greek letters, Alpha being in the A, Omega being the end of the alphabet, the beginning and the end. In other words, Jesus is always there and will always be there. That's a guarantee that we've had throughout Scripture. In the beginning, Jesus was there. We know. In the Gospel of John, we know that Jesus was there. It tells us in the first chapter. And in Revelation, in the scripture that I read today, that reassurance again that Jesus is there. And so when we have the easy times, the times of celebration of life, like this week when we give thanks and have gratitude for who Jesus is and all the blessings that we receive, or in times when it's hard, when we're missing somebody at the table, or we have a tough diagnosis, and we're going through a moment of dis-ease, we have the guarantee that Christ is there walking with us. That's the good news, folks. And so when we know, when Pilate was asking Jesus, "Who do you say you are? Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replies back to him, "I don't know. Who do you say I am?" My question for you is, who do you say Jesus is? I can provide all kinds of theological evidence, but until Jesus becomes tangibly real in your own heart and in your own mind, you won't have that tangible relationship. And the thing is, relationships take work. You don't have a relationship just in passing. If you are ships that pass at night, you don't have a real relationship. If you have a relationship where your book sits on the shelf and you never open the book and encounter what the words say, you don't have a real relationship, right? If you never pick up the phone and call someone, you don't have a real relationship. If you don't sit down and talk with someone, you don't have a relationship. That's a relationship in name only. How do you build on that relationship? You spend time in that relationship. You give back to that relationship. And when I do marriage counseling, you see, it takes effort on both people's parts. When I actually do confirmation classes, I tell young people that this relationship that you're confirming, that you're saying yes to Jesus Christ, it's going to take work. Servanthood takes work. And relationships are that. You serve. You serve your spouse. You serve your parents. You serve your brother and sister. You serve your friends. And you serve your church. You serve your God. It takes work. That's how you exalt the King. And Christ will be exalted, whether you put the work in or not. Christ will find a way to be exalted. How do I know? Because the church has existed for 2,000 years and has found a way. How do I know that the church will go on? Well, even though the temple has been torn down and there has been a disbursement of the Christians and the Jews all over the world, the church has gone on. How do I know that the church will go on today? Because there are people still coming to Christ today. How do you participate in that relationship? You mentor, you disciple, and you live into the vows that you made. You serve. You love. You prepare the way of the Lord and you exalt Him. He will be exalted. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today that you have not given up. It's us. It's us that need to remember that we are your children, that we are the ones that have been called to you. Help us. Help us to draw nearer to you. Help us to exalt you. Help us to remember who you are in all ways. And in thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.